ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation commentary by Srila Prabhupada, Canto 7, The Science of God, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Now that's advanced. When you can learn in the womb. Text number 32. Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhagavan Aste Ishwaraha Iti Bhutani Manasa Kamai Tai Sadhamanayet Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhagavan Asti Ishvaraha Iti Bhutani Manasa Kamaistai Sadhamanayet Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhagavan Asta Ishvaraha Iti Bhutani Manasa Kamaistai Sadhamanayet Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhagavan Asta Ishvaraha Iti Bhutani Manasa Kamaistai Sadhumanayet Ladies, Hari the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarveshu, in all, Bhuteshu, living entities, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality, Aste, is situated, Ishvaraha, the Supreme Controller, Iti, thus, Bhutani, all living entities, Manasa, by such understanding, Kamai, by desires, Tai, those, Sadhumanayet, one should highly esteem. Translation. One should, oh, this is Prahlad Maharaj continuing to address his classmates. One should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus, one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation. Please repeat, one should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus, one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation. This is Prabhupada's very careful translation of this verse, because as you're going to hear in the purport, this is the kind of verse that's very easily understood, taken in an impersonal way. Prabhupada begins, purport, Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu. This statement is sometimes misunderstood by unscrupulous persons who wrongly conclude that because Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated in every living entity is therefore Hari. Right? Because God's in me, therefore I must be God. No. That's wrong logic. Such foolish persons do not distinguish between the Atma and the Paramatma, who are situated in every body. The Atma is the living entity, and the Paramatma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual living entity, however, is different from the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu means that Hari is situated as Paramatma, not as Atma. Although Atma is a part of Paramatma, offering respect to every living entity means offering respect to the Paramatma situated in every living entity. One should not misunderstand every living entity to be the Paramatma. You see how Prabhupada keeps hammering this over and over again. Sometimes unscrupulous persons designate a living entity as Daridranarayana, Swami Narayana, this Narayan or that Narayan. One should clearly understand that although Narayan is situated in the core of the heart of every living entity. The living entity never becomes Narayan. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hari Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhagavan Asta Ishvaraha Iti Bhutani Manasa Kamaistai Sadhu Manayet. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurud Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is very kindly opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So the oneness of it all and the difference of it all. This is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, how everything turns on oneness and difference. Since I'm traveling around sharing a drop of the unlimited glories of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, I thought I would share with you how Prabhupada introduced this idea of the oneness and difference of God and the living entity into ISKCON. And he was always doing it. But especially in the beginning, it's very interesting how, because Prabhupada's first listeners were steeped, were absorbed in Mayavad philosophy, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, it was very difficult for the first listeners to really understand what Swamiji, as they called Prabhupada in those days, was talking about. So, one devotee from those early times used to share how when Swamiji was talking about the Mayavadis, they didn't know who he was talking about. Swamiji kept referring to the Mayavadis, and they kept thinking, who are these people? Is it some group in India that Swamiji has a grudge against? He doesn't seem to like these people. Who are they? Now, interestingly, in those days, I mean, can you imagine this? There were no books. Can you imagine ISKCON with no books? I mean, here we are, you know, this is the BBT capital of India, right? Mumbai. And you're just awash with books. You're in an ocean of books here. Can you imagine being in ISKCON with no books? It was just Swamiji. And he was translating his Gita. So when he gave Gita class, to give the class, he would use a Mayavadi Gita for the translations, because as Swamiji said, oh, the translations, they're 90% okay. It's the purports that are all rubbish, you know, the commentary. So he was using a Gita commentary, famous, as you know, the first, not Prime Minister, but the first President of India was Dr. Sarvapalli Radhakrishnan. And so his Gita Press edition had this all impersonal commentary. So Prabhupada, he was using that. And the most famous impersonal commentary was in Krishna's, you know, 934. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru mame vaishasi yuktvaivam atmanang madparayanaha. Now when you go back over that verse and you check out the personal pronouns, you know, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru mame vaishasi yuktvaivam atmanang madparayana. You know, there's five or six personal pronouns there. I mean, it's just so clear that Krishna is a person. God is a person, right? Me, my. But in the commentary by Dr. S. Radhakrishnan, what does he say? As we know, he says, well, you know, it's not to the person Krishna we necessarily have to surrender to. It's to the unborn, unmanifest, ineffable, inconceivable, within Krishna and within all of us. That's what we have to surrender to, that impersonal absolute within. So one fine day at 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada was giving a class on this verse. And it's all about Krishna being a person, right? So then Prabhupada Swamiji says, any questions? So one devotee who, like the others, had been reading impersonalism and voidism, they'd been reading Buddha's teachings and Mayavad philosophy. So he raises his hand and he says, Swamiji, is it necessarily Krishna that we have to surrender to? Couldn't we also say, or couldn't we rather say, it's the unborn, unmanifest, the one within Krishna and within all of us? And later on the devotee said, when I was saying this, Swamiji, he didn't cut me off. He just let me talk. He let me talk and talk, and I went on and on all about the one, you know, within us and in Krishna and all of us. And then I just talked and until I talked myself out. I had nothing left to say. And then Swamiji looked at me and he said, are you finished? And then the devotee said, and then Swamiji's face, it became like Lord Nrsimhadev. We'd never seen this face before. Prabhupada became ferocious. Krishna saying, me, my, unto me. And you're saying something else. This is total nonsense. And he went on and on and on. And he just became more and more ferocious. And the devotee said, I felt myself getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I felt like I was shrinking into the floorboards at 26th Second Avenue.
Hi.
Hare Krishna. So when the devotee would tell this story, he would say, so this is the day we found out who the Mayavadis were. I have seen the enemy, and the enemy is us. We are the Mayavadis. Now, that was in July 1966. Now, August, September. 2 months later, Swamiji is presiding over the first Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja observance in his young international society. And he announces to his fledgling followers, so tomorrow we're going to have initiation. They didn't know what he was talking about. But they had been coming around, and Prabhupada saw that it was important that these people take the next step. You know, we have our 9-step recovery process. Alcoholics Anonymous has its 12-step program. We have our 9-step. Ado Shraddha Tataksadhu Tabachanakriya. Right? From Shraddha to Prem. Rupa Goswami has his 9-step recovery process. So they had Shraddha, right? It wasn't firm faith, but they had enough interest that they were regular listeners to Swamiji. And they were associating with Sadhu Sangha, the Sadhu, the Swamiji. That much they could see. He was a holy man. So it was time, Swamiji knew, for them to take the next step into bhajana kriya. Right? He wanted them to commit to the disciplines of bhakti. So he said, tomorrow we're going to have initiation. They didn't have a clue what Prabhupada was talking about, but they thought it was interesting. I wonder what this is all about. So Swamiji said, initiation means that the guru agrees to take charge of the disciple And the disciple accepts the guru as God. Silence. And then Swamiji said, any questions? And his listeners were too stunned to ask anything, because all summer long they had been hearing Swamiji preach against Mayavad. And here he is appearing to contradict himself by saying the disciple has to accept a guru as God. And they'd heard Swamiji say, if anybody who says he's God is a dog, right? From G-O-D to D-O-G. So when Swamiji said any questions, he was testing them. But they were too stunned. They didn't have any questions. They just sat there. So what did Prabhupada do? He got up off his dais. They didn't really have a full asan, right? What to speak of the throne here. But they had a kind of, maybe you've seen the movies or the pictures, they had a kind of raised seat. It's called in English a dais. D-A-I-S. So Swamiji got up off his dais, turned to his right, walked out the side door at 22nd Avenue, turned right again down the hallway, through the courtyard, up to his apartment, leaving his followers to think about what he'd said. So what did they think? Well, after they got off their, after they got over the initial shock, they turned to each other and they said, hey man, did you hear that? Hey man, Swami just dropped a bomb, man. Yeah, man. I don't know if I can do this. Initiation, huh? You have to accept the guru as God. They didn't know what to think. Now, there was one devotee who wasn't there, who was a regular. He was at a famous place several blocks away called Bellevue Hospital. It was a famous mental hospital that the devotee's parents had tricked him to signing himself into, because he was the first devotee who shaved his head and wore a dhoti, and his parents thought he was insane. So somehow they tricked him into signing himself into the mental hospital. Now this devotee in the mental hospital, he was pretty intelligent. Very intelligent. So one of the devotees at the storefront, 22nd Avenue, decided he would go and visit this devotee and tell the devotee what happened to get the devotee's opinion. So he's allowed to visit the devotee. And he says, Wally says to Keith, hey Keith, Swami just dropped a bomb. He said, tomorrow we're going to have something called initiation. And he said it means the spiritual master takes charge of the disciple and the disciple accepts the spiritual master as God. What do you think? He wanted Keith's opinion. Just like when Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada said, I didn't want to go. My friend Narendranath Mulak, had to drag me. So what did Keith say to Wally? Keith said, well, you know, I mean, we're already accepting everything he says as the absolute truth. We may as well accept him as God. What's the problem? Well, Wally wasn't quite satisfied. So he went back to 22nd Avenue, and said to Howard, large-bodied Howard, who was an English professor, with big long hair, and who wasn't afraid to speak to Swami, So he said to Howard, "Howard, will you please go up to Swamiji's apartment and ask Swamiji what he meant that we have to accept the spiritual master as God?"
"Yes, I will go ask Swamiji."
So Howard goes up to the apartment 2C at 26 Second Avenue, and says, "Swamiji, what you said this morning about the spiritual master being God, does this mean that we have to accept the spiritual master as God?" Now, this is what Prabhupada had been waiting for. He was waiting for someone to ask him for clarification. Because as you may know, in his purport to Gita 4:34, which is a very famous verse, let's all say it, "Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha." Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. And then Krishna goes plural, the self-realized souls, upadekshanti, that's plural. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they, plural again, have seen the truth. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, "In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned." Prabhupada doesn't want blind. Krishna, Prabhupada, the parampara, the guru, they don't want blind followers. They want us to surrender with our intelligence. So when Prabhupada dropped that bomb, he did it on purpose to see if they would come and ask him for clarification. And if they hadn't, you can bet he would have not gone through with that initiation. So Howard is coming. "We have to accept the guru as God," you know, with, and he really, you know, spun it in a very skeptical way. That was his tone. So Swamiji smiled and very confidently said, "This means the guru is the representative of God. Therefore, we have to accept him as God. Because he's God's representative." Just like if the ambassador from America, where I'm from, to India, walked into this room, we would have to accept him as good as America. Because he's representing America. He's the American ambassador. So Prabhupada gave that example. This means he's God's representative. Therefore, we have to accept him as God. Howard, he wanted to make sure he was understanding what Swamiji was saying. So he said, "Then the spiritual master is not God?" Swamiji, "No, God is God. The spiritual master is his representative. Is that clear?" And it was clear. It was clear. So they went ahead the next day with the initiations. Now, that's how Prabhupada introduced the oneness and difference of God and Guru, right? Between the Swami and Narayan, as Prabhupada says. You know, the Mayavadis, they equalize the two, equal in all respects. We also say every morning, what do we say? In Sri Guru Vandana, Sakshat Hari Tve Nasamasta Shastre Ruktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadbihi Kintu Prabhurya Priya Eva Tasya Bande Guru Sri Charnaravindam. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, on account of his being the most confidential servitor of the Lord. Sakshad Hari Tvena. Not just Hari, but Sakshad Hari Tvena. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and is followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. Now, that was in 1966. How Prabhupada introduced that? Not the song. The song didn't come until 4 years later when I joined ISKCON in 1970. But the concept he introduced straight away in 66. In 1970, 4 years later, a full-blown Mayavad weed came up in the heart of Prabhupada's movement. Yeah. And here's what happened. Now, if you've read the Lilamrita, how many people have read the Lilamrita? This is a must-read. If you want to know our founder Acharya, our foundational spiritual master, foundational Shiksha Guru, you must study Prabhupada's life, teachings, mood, and mission. Otherwise, we can say his name until we're blue in the face, but we don't really understand Prabhupada as he is. So you must read. Not, and don't just read the one volume, Prabhupada. That's a good start. Read the whole thing. And you really get a full taste of the nectar. So in 1970, the year I joined in July, and I didn't know it when I joined, but there was a big threat to ISKCON going on. I didn't know what was going on. I was just, you know, how we are when we first walk in the door, everything is all new and everybody's an angel and there's no more worries and, you know. But there was a full-blown threat going on because some jealous swamis in India, I'll put it like that, were giving some of the devotees pioneering ISKCON India a compromised view of Prabhupada, a minimized view of Prabhupada. And these devotees were passing on this minimization of Prabhupada to devotees in America. I mean, the leaders, some leaders. And some of the leaders in America were becoming affected by this. And they were getting, their faith in Prabhupada was getting hurt, compromised, injured. And Prabhupada knew, he could tell what was going on because there were symptoms of neglect of his position as the founder of Acharya showing up in his society. I don't have time to go into that, but so one of the things Prabhupada did to counter the threat was he introduced his pranam mantra, which was rather revolutionary because traditionally, you know, this is India after all, and the guru-disciple culture has been here for thousands of years, right? Since time immemorial. And traditionally, the guru doesn't reveal his own pranam mantra, but the disciples make the pranam mantra because it's a glorification of the guru. But we didn't know anything. We didn't even know how to clean ourselves after passing. So what to speak of a pranam mantra? So Prabhupada revealed, we knew Nama Om, the devotees knew that, but they didn't know this one. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. Our respectful obeisances are unto you, O spiritual master, servant of Saraswati Goswami. You are so kindly preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya in these Western countries. Why just the West focus? Because here we are in India. But Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara knew that everybody's imitating the West. Still they're doing it. Oh, the West is going down. So, in these Western countries, so filled with impersonalism and voidism, the strategy is get the Westerners to surrender to Krishna and then bring them back to India, right? And say, you want to imitate the Westerners? Imitate these Westerners. They've seen the whole thing of, you know, so-called advancement of civilization and they've had it. Okay. So that was the first thing Prabhupada did he reminded the devotees of the sacred mission that he had come to engage them in. And then in July, about 2 weeks after I joined ISKCON, Prabhupada, he fortified ISKCON by creating a governing body commission. There was no GBC. It was just him. So he asked the leaders he could still trust, some of the leaders. They were all householders. Yeah, except for one brahmachari. There was hardly any sannyasis then. Will you join me in fortifying ISKCON by being part of a governing body? Yes, Prabhupada. So, the first official act of the GBC happened a month later, after all of us in America, and that's mainly where the devotees were, because that's where Prabhupada started ISKCON. We all convened at the first ISKCON farm in New Vrindavan, West Virginia, for the first big movement-wide festival, Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja. Now what happened was, before this time, that spring, when those leaders in America who had been getting a compromised view of Prabhupada, Prabhupada knew exactly, you know, where the, as Prabhupada put it, where the poison was coming from, how it had affected some of these disciples of his. So the people who had been affected later on said, especially one of them said, I could feel Prabhupada withdrawing his mercy from me because I was looking at him now in a different way. I was becoming jealous of him, thinking him an ordinary man. And I could feel him withdrawing his mercy, and it was terrifying. So these devotees who had been getting a minimized view of Prabhupada, they suddenly realized what had happened to them, and they were mortified that they'd been feeling, having these, you know, mundane feelings toward Prabhupada. And Prabhupada knew what had been going on. So you know what he did? To help them, to correct them, he gave them sannyas. He kicked them out of the house. He gave them sannyas. Go travel and preach. So there they are, these 20-something people. You know, 20-something means, no, there were four of them. And they were all in their 20s, right? Maybe one was 30, yeah. And he had them travel and preach. But the gravity of their offense weighed on their hearts and their heads. So you know what they did? They realized they'd been underestimating Prabhupada's stature. So they began to think, this is such an offense. So they began to overcorrect their mistake. And so when they got to the New Vrindavan Festival, by that time, you know what they were preaching? Prabhupada is God. Prabhupada is Krishna. And because we haven't recognized this, Prabhupada has left us. Prabhupada had just gone to India. And they misinterpreted Prabhupada doing that. They're saying Prabhupada has abandoned us. He's gone back to India. And now we may as well not even chant Hare Krishna, because our chanting is useless, because we haven't recognized Prabhupada's position. Prabhupada, he gave us the chanting. And because we've misused it, we've not chanted in the right spirit, we're useless. We may as well not even chant. This was the preaching that they were doing at this festival. Needless to say, there was chaos at the festival. Insane. Here are these sannyasis. These are the first sannyasis in America. So naturally everybody's, you know, respecting them. But then they're preaching this Mayavad. The guru is God. So luckily the GBC Prabhupada had just formed them a month earlier. So their first official act, they were all there, except for one of them. They were all there. No, they were all there. Yeah. They were all there. And they called up Prabhupada and they said, "This is what your sannyasis are saying. They're saying you're Krishna. What should we do?" So what did Swamiji, what did Prabhupada, they called him Prabhupada by then. So what did Prabhupada said? Prabhupada thundered on the other end of the line. "Expel them immediately. There is only one thing worse than underestimating the guru," which is what they had been doing before, right? "Overestimating him and making him God. If the spiritual master can become God, then you can become God too, right? When you become a spiritual master, this is Mayavad. Expel them." So, our founder Acharya acted very swiftly, suddenly, and he kicked them out. And then later on, what Prabhupada did to test them, he gave them a chance to come back. "You can come back into the association of devotees if you preach the right thing, the truth, how the spiritual master is God's representative. If you go your separate ways, you split up now, like sannyasis, go it alone, and you each open up a temple, and you recruit devotees and preach the right thing, then you can come back." And they did. They were sincere. So I thought I'd tell those stories because this is Prabhupada's mission. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshanari Tarine. He came to root out the impersonalism and the voidism in our Kali Yuga contaminated hearts and to bring us home. So I'd like to invite you all, if you have time, I hope you can make time, tonight, starting at 7 p.m. to 9 in Vangshi Hall, we're going to continue the glories of our founder, Acharya. I've been here twice with different sections of the series, and now we're up to the prayojana, you know, the dessert, deepening our love for Srila Prabhupada. So tonight's lesson is called "To Love is to Cooperate, Finding Unity in Diversity." So please come. Thank you for listening. And it's 5 to 9. Maybe we'll take a question or two. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'll read the verse again. Prahlad Maharaj is preaching to his 5-year-old classmates. This is called a child prodigy, right? Precocious. Prahlad says, "One should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His localized representation as the Paramatma." Right? Just because God's in my heart doesn't mean I'm God. Or as Prabhupada would say, just because you're an American doesn't mean you are America or you're the president. Right? It means you're a citizen of America. "Who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart, thus one should offer respect to every living entity," and here's the key phrase, "according to that living entity's position or manifestation." Right? One more quick antidote, unless you have, I don't see any hands. You have any? Oh, okay, here we go. Is there a loud and clear?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for clarifying again. One question was there that many times this comes, that when we are talking about Guru, that we don't consider Him as ordinary human being. At the same time, He is not God. So then, when we say that Guru is spiritual personality, so how we reconcile, He is having a, like, many times this question comes is, Guru is having a spiritual body or material body, and then he is mercifully helping us to advance. So, just wanted to check, Guru's body is spiritual or material, or it's a spiritualized, or what is the...
Yes, Guru Tattva, it's probably the most inconceivable of the tattvas. So in a nutshell, it sounds like you're asking, on the one hand, the spiritual master we hear is not an ordinary man, right? To do so is a great... Guru Ravagya, we think he's an ordinary man, we neglect his instructions, right? On the other hand, he's not God. So, what is he? Well, this relates to the first lesson in the seminar I teach. It's called The Spiritual Masters. And we talk about Guru Tattva. I'll tell you, if you want a nice overview of Guru Tattva, just go to the very first chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, which is called The Spiritual Masters. That's the first thing Kaviraj Goswami talks about. I'll just briefly say now that there's many different kinds of gurus. I mean, on the one hand, guru is one. And maybe that's the easiest way to answer the question now. So in what sense is the guru one? Can you tell me how all gurus are the same? How do you know? You asked the question, so you must know the answer. How is guru one?
They're representing the same Adi Guru, and they're giving the same message.
Evang parang para praptam imang rajarshayo vidahu sakale neha mahataha yoga nashtak parantapa. Yeah, the parampara is built on this principle of all the gurus are saying what Krishna is saying. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun, you know, and it came down like that. So that's how all gurus are one, and that's how the spiritual master confirmed. 3 times confirmed. We're going to go to 9. I better keep talking. So, the guru is not ordinary because he's one of those rare, rare souls. How rare is it? I mean, Krishna says in the Gita, right? Manushanam sahasreshu kasyad yadati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kasyan mang veti tatvataha. Or actually a better verse is Bahunang janmanam ante jnanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabaha. Such a great soul is very rare. Who surrenders unto me? I mean, we're living in the prison house portion of the creation. So if you walk into a prison and you start saluting the flag and praising the government, you're not going to don't expect that the prisoners are going to pat you on the back. Instead, they're going to give you a big story about how they don't deserve to be in the prison. It's not their fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my teacher's fault. It's my friend's fault. It's the fault of the guy I killed. Right? It's the governor's fault. You know, it's Modi's fault. So similarly, when we go out to distribute books, you can't expect that everybody's going to take a book, because this is the place where everybody's come to forget Krishna, right? So when we go to remind them, oh, thank you very much for reminding me of the person that I've run away from. Thank you very much. No. So that's what it means, generally, in a broad sense, that the spiritual master is that rare, 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 rare soul who's given his life to Krishna. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikilas vapyavastasu jivan muktaksu uchate. When we give everything we do, karmana, all our deeds, manasa, all our thoughts, gira, all our words, when we give those to Krishna, that's freedom, that's liberation, that's not an ordinary person. Now within that, there's different levels of guru too, and that's beyond the scope of this class, but that's what we covered in the first lesson. But I can, I gave you the notes, I think. You have the notes? Yeah. Go back and look at the notes for the first chapter. Okay, it's after 9. Do we, should we end? Or, oh, Prabhu, one more.
While Srila Prabhupada was in the ship going to USA, he wrote in the diary that I am a very lowly person. I am not qualified to preach. And that way he wrote again and again. So he was really must be feeling like that. Then what some transformation took place that he declared that I am God. In between the, when he landed USA, after 1 or 1.5 years, he said that I am as good as God. So really some transformation took place, or it was just like humility before God?
No, that's the same. It's the same Prabhupada. But he's saying, that's a good question, Prabhu. The question is, on the ship, Prabhupada is expressing his helplessness, his hopelessness, his incapableness. I can't convince these people. They're completely covered over by the modes of passion and ignorance. But you, Krishna, you can do it. You can speak through me. So you, Nacho, Nacho, Prabhu, you make me dance. You make me dance. I'm your man. So it's another side of the same person. It's not that Prabhupada is then thinking that, I'm the guru. No, it's the same humble servant of God. But we have to understand that for different occasions and for different purposes, the guru has to speak in different ways. He has to say and do different things. So let's understand that always according to context. So the context of him saying to those first people in 26 Second Avenue was, the context was, he's testing them. Because he just gave the oneness there. Right? The student accepts the master as God. That's the abeta, right? He didn't give the beta. He was leaving it to them to come and ask him for clarification so he could give the beta, the difference. This means that he's representative of God. Qualitatively one, quantitatively different. So we have to understand time, place, circumstance. Otherwise we'll be completely confused by all the apparent, and that's the key word there, apparent contradictions. There's no contradiction. That we have to know context. That's all. That's a good, yeah.
And this bona fide spiritual master includes the Siksha Guru, who is taking, say, just Bhaktivinoda classes.
Yes, it does, and that again relates to the first lesson of the whole series that I taught. Let's see, when was I first? I guess it was in 20... I forget when we started this. I guess it was 2014 March, yeah. So, it's a long time ago. Kaviraj Goswami says in the very first chapter, we mainly use that first chapter of CC, that the Shiksha and the Diksha Guru, and Prabhupada reiterates in the purport, they're equal and identical manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we don't have time to go into all the ramifications of that, but we do that in the lesson. So, please come tonight, and we'll continue with the seminar series. And I know the next question is, Prabhu, what time is prasadam? No. So, we'll end there. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.